And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Believe it or not, it's a Friday afternoon, which means, of course, it's time to talk money matters once again with Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Friday always comes around quickly, doesn't it?
Feels like I'm in here every other day.
Every other day. It's been a busy week too, I tell you what. I've been flat chat all week, so I'm glad to see the end in sight. Today we're talking about starting a pension in July from your super. So let's start from the beginning. Why would people want to do that?
Yeah, so from a bit of context, we've spoken about preparing for 30 June and pension payments prior to 30 June were good for a number of reasons, as were contributions. And now I guess I just want people to think about the use of a pension for something other than the assumed primary purpose, which is I'd love to work 4 days a week and I want to supplement my income. But today we can touch on some of the other reasons why you might consider doing that, because it can be very advantageous from a strategic perspective. And some of the things that people want to keep in mind here are, one, do I want to pay down some debt? So a good strategy this time of year is to say, right, I'll have a pension payment in June to draw out my percentage minimum for age, provided that I've reached access age or preservation age, so over 60 money coming out tax-free. Great way to pay down your mortgage. But then people forget that it's a new financial year, which means it's a new 12-month threshold. So you could take another annual pension payment now up to, say you had $1 million in your super, you could take 10% under the transition to retirement rules or 4% or more if you've got an account-based pension and pay down non-deductible debt. Now, people might say, well, why would you do that? If you look at somebody's average marginal tax rate, to pay off $10,000, you need to earn $13,000 if you said an average tax rate was 30%. So you've got to earn $13,000 to pay $10,000. Or you could go to your super fund and take $10,000, no tax, and clear $10,000. So from a use perspective, that's really, really handy. If you looked at it from a transition to retirement perspective, you could take $50,000 out of a $500,000 super fund, being 10% maximum, you'd need to earn $81,000 to get that same net 50. So it's a really, really powerful way of paying down debt. It's just about getting people to shift their thinking around, well, my super's going down, yes, but what's the value of the use of that resource? You're getting a lot more bang for your buck. Some other reasons why people might do it. Fund school fees. So think about you. If you paid tax at 39 cents in the dollar, 34 cents in the dollar, and you're paying school fees, what if you used a transition retirement to pay the school fees, no tax over 60, you could pay for the grandkids' school fees. Great. That's going to help out your kids. And there could be a quid pro quo there on a babysitting. You know, it depends how you want to get paid on the other side. Another great one is investment properties. We've seen interest rates rise significantly over the last couple of years, and that gap between the cost of holding it and the rent that you get is getting bigger and bigger, to the point where people may have had multiple properties that were neutrally geared, i.e. rent covered interest. Now you've got rent not covering interest, plus rates, land tax, costs, insurances, and agent fees, and all the other stuff that you incur. Why not think about taking some money out of your superannuation on a tax-free basis, potentially putting it in the offset account of the loan that you have and reducing that gap between costs and rent so that you're not funding it with after-tax income on a fortnightly, monthly, or annual basis, which could then be affecting lifestyle and other things that you have from a fixed cost perspective. So it's a really good way for people to just shift their thinking. Because if you're going to pay for it with wages or you pay for it from super, at the end of the day, anytime we do anything, we're always saying, what is the best use of the resources that I have? Working is a resource. Super is a resource. Pension is a resource. Time is a resource. So it's not you must. I'm not saying you must do this. I'm not saying, hey, race out and do it either. I just want to try and shift people's general line of thinking around, well, taking it out is bad. But again, come back to that interest component on a mortgage. If you've got less debt, you're paying less interest. If you're paying less interest, you might be able to reduce your payments. that then frees up your cash flow to do other things. So it's a cumulative effect when we think about a pension as to its use and its purpose. Another great one for people that are getting close to retirement or in retirement and may have returned to the workforce is you can use a pension payment to help reset the taxable and tax-free components of your superannuation. Now, where you're over 60, we know that everything comes out tax-free up to certain thresholds. But how your money goes into super then has a direct impact on the potential tax liability to the next generation from an estate planning perspective. So if you've got a lot of taxable component in your super, you might take a 10% pension or an account-based pension, depending on your situation, pay that out, put it back in as a tax-free contribution, and go from a higher taxable component to a higher tax-free component. And you say, well, why would I do that? If you die and your super is not paid to a spouse and it goes to a non-dependent, it's taxed at 17% on the taxable percentage of your accumulated benefit. So thinking about that next generation, whilst it doesn't affect you directly because it's tax-free to you regardless, your kids will thank you one day because it's going to end up as a parent. We want to do things for our kids that can assist them and give them a better life and let them benefit from the things that we do. And thinking about that once you've met a condition of release is a great way of starting to improve the tax profile of your super, not so much for yourself, but for the potential beneficiaries, which when you're old are going to be adult children who can then help grandchildren, your kids, and so on. So I just want people to think about the use of a pension strategically, because there are a number of key outcomes that can be really beneficial for everybody involved.
Now, in the midst of all that, you mentioned the transition to retirement arrangements. The beauty of that, of course, means that you can start drawing a pension from your superannuation and you can still do some work as well at the same time. So what do people need to know about that process?
Yeah, so when it comes to transition to retirement, the first question is, have I met my Commonwealth preservation age? Generally speaking, am I over 60? Yes. You can then go to your fund. And again, keep the numbers round for the sake of the example. You've got $1 million in super. I'd like to take between 4%, which is the minimum for somebody up to age 65, and 10% maximum of the balance. So you could go and say, right, I want $100,000 out of my fund. It'll be paid to you on a tax-free basis. You could then use that for one of the four or five examples we've just given, or you could then put that back into another super fund and do one of two things. You could put it back in as a tax-free contribution, so you've now got a higher tax-free component, which helps with that next generation planning. Or you could put some of that into super and claim that as a tax deduction to help reduce your tax in this financial year up to the legislated limits. Now, if we parlay that with the catch-up concessional rules that let you go back and look to 2020 and say, how much room have I got in relation to what I have? This particular example wouldn't work because on $1 million, you're over 500,000. But if you had $500,000 in super or less and you took out 50, you could then put that back in and claim up to where you have the room, $50,000 as a tax deduction if it works for you in your situation. So again, don't just think about the pension rules around lifestyle and boats and yachts and bikes and cars and toys. Think about it strategically around a funding mechanism for making deductible contributions so that you can maximise your broader tax position every year.
Now, you mentioned a minimum of 4% of your balance coming out as a pension payment, yep, up to a maximum of 10%.
Yep.
So would I be right in assuming that if you're taking out 4%, but your fund is generating a return of 7%, you're actually going to receive that income without eroding your capital?
Correct, exactly right. And this is where people need to, again, look at it from a total return perspective. The pension minimum percentages are set under the legislation as to what you must take of your balance either from the 1st of July or when you start your pension on a prorated basis during the financial year. So if you were halfway through and didn't want to take four, what they'd say is, okay, you're halfway through. So you take a prorated amount. So you might say, okay, well, halfway through the year, I'll take two because that's my prorated minimum of the balance. You also have the right to say, well, I'll take 10% on the first day of the year because it's calculated on the 1st of July if you're already in pension phase. So you want to think about a percentage that works for you, again, tied into your broader strategy so that you get the best bang for your buck. But you're spot on. If your funds earn an eight, you're taking four, you're still making money. And if you take it out and put it back into another fund, you've still got that invested capital, but you've got the tax benefit of changing those components from an estate planning standpoint, which again is wonderful for the next generation.
Okay, so what are the basic things that people might be considering when deciding whether or not to start a pension phase in their new financial year that we've just entered?
Well, I think you've got to look and you know, as we always say, align your why. Okay, why would I do it? What does my fund allow? Can I take a pension from my fund? So this is where the defined benefit scheme, especially PSS, struggles, because you can't do that with that particular fund. You could with CSS, but you can't with PSS. So you want to be thinking about, is this something that I could use in the future? And if you're making deductible contributions to another fund, you might start adding to that fund with that in mind, knowing that you couldn't do it out of a defined benefit scheme. So it's really important that you get that done. I think it's very important that you understand the tax benefit of why you're doing it. You also need to make sure that you've met a condition of release, i.e. I'm over preservation age for an account-based pension and I've quit, or I use the transition to retirement rules because I'm still working. So make sure that you line your ducks up there, because you have to leap over those legislative hurdles. And then make sure that you've got a clear plan in relation to your course of action. Am I making a deductible contribution? Am I making a tax-free contribution? Am I paying some school fees? Am I freeing up cash flow? Am I reducing the debt on the investment property? Am I paying down my mortgage? That's been a very successful strategy in June and July, where you say, I want 10% before June, 10% in July, and you can get a big lick of money against your mortgage with tax-free capital. I find a lot of people get a lot of peace of mind out of doing that. So it's always something that you need to consider. Why am I doing it? Logistically, how do I do it? And then what's my timing? People might do something in July, or they might then wait until June if they don't need to. But again, I want people to be thinking about it in the new financial year, because it can have a lot of compounded benefit over the next 12 months.
In fact, that's not a bad idea, is it? July is a good opportunity to sit down with your financial advisor and nut out a strategy for the next 12 months.
100%. And again, this is just an awareness piece around, well, what are we going to do and how do we do it? Because I find a lot of people leave it too late, or they think they can only do it in June. This is really about sort of broadening that horizon of, okay, well, what's the real benefit to me and how can I make the most of it?
Indeed. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio today, and we're asking the question whether you should or should not start a pension from your superannuation in the brand new financial year that has just commenced. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Luke Smith from Envision Financial is with me in the studio, and today we're asking the question, are you planning to start a pension in July from your super? Well, Luke, it's that time to ask, what are the key things that people need to keep in mind when they're considering this strategy?
Yeah, look, it's really powerful from a planning perspective, not just from a funding of lifestyle perspective. You know, I'm pro people going 2 or 3, 4 days a week, depending on their situation. And you always got to look and say, why would I do it and how do I fund my life? So that's obviously why the transition to retirement legislation was created, to keep an aging population and a skill set in the workforce. But you need to think outside the box, because as we said before the ad break, great way to lower your mortgage if you do have one, great way to lower the outstanding debt on investment property, and you might want to hold something long term and not sell, but it could be that the difference between rent and interest is starting to eat into personal cash flow, where for many, many years rent covered interest and it was neutrally geared. Now you might be finding that it's getting larger and larger and larger because everything's gone up in cost and interest rates have risen. So you could use that to try and cover that shortfall from a payment perspective, or look to make a lump sum payment and park that in the offset account. Because if you did get $100,000 into an offset account of an interest only loan, that's going to save you around $6,500 of payments at a 6.5% interest rate. So again, I just want people to think about the value of the application of funds, not just, oh, it's bad, my super's going down. But if you're using that capital for another investment opportunity or another strategy, all you're doing is transferring your wealth or the resources that you have from super to an investment property, which if you paid down, you might then collect the rent in retirement as part of the income stream that you use to fund lifestyle. So think about it holistically. Use a pension to pay fixed costs that may not be deductible. School fees are a good one. Clearing personal loans, car leases, things like that. If you can get 100% bang for your buck, I'd much rather people use it for that than after-tax wages, which you're incurring a significant liability on at certain thresholds. Remember that the word pension does not mean fortnight. You can take a pension and be paid fortnightly or monthly, but a pension simply means the act of taking an income stream out of your super, and you need to take that percentage minimum for age within the 12 months of the financial year. So from 1 July to 30 June, you can pay it out tomorrow at 10% under the transition rules. You could pay it out at 10% on the 28th of June. Anywhere in between, you have the ability to access that capital as a pension. Because I find a lot of people come in and say, oh, it's a pension, and they think defined benefit, they think Centrelink, they think government payment, they think fortnight, when it actually isn't. And again, this is just about raising that awareness of the use of that capital for other purposes. And then think about what you could do from an estate planning perspective. You know, one big thing that I find, you know, older people who have retired are concerned about is, what's going to happen to my money should something happen to me? And managing the taxable and tax-free components of your super. I find when I explain that to people, it is a shock. They didn't realize that someone would pay tax, and they get upset that it's going to be taxed again. And I think you've got every right to be upset about it. But if you think about a recontribution strategy to lower that tax liability to the next generation, using pensions is a great way to get access to money, either in retirement or while you're working, provided you've met certain conditions, to be able to lower the tax impact to the next generation from an estate planning perspective. So I think if people keep that in mind, it'll give them a number of ways to try and improve either their capital or cash flow position by just thinking outside the box in relation to the use of a pension.
Wow, there's a lot to consider, isn't there?
Well, there's always, you know, there's why am I doing it, but then there's what's the value of doing it. And I think it's people overlook the value of it because of the perception that my balance has gone down, that's bad.
Yeah.
But if you've used it for something advantageous, I think it's still just as powerful.
Indeed. So where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so office number 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. We've got the podcast, The Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got the YouTube channel Envision Financial Canberra, where we've got a backlog of all of the shows and all of the videos. We've got TikTok. We've got the Strategy Stacker handle there. And these types of strategies are all in Smart Money Strategy, Your Ultimate Guide to Financial Planning, available in all good and bad bookstores.
Absolutely. And yeah, and you know, obviously it's been a very popular seller. And did they manage to restock at that shop that ran out?
Yes, they did.
They did. Excellent.
Yes, they
very
did.
Good.
And I've had people ring and say, look, I can't get it there. Can I get a copy? So I'm not sure Dimmicks would be happy about that, but it is what it is.
It is indeed. Luke, thanks very much.
See you next week.
We'll catch you again next Friday afternoon when Luke Smith from Envision Financial will join us once again to talk money matters on 2CC.